Let's get to Andrew Kelleher at JMI Wealth for a look at business this morning. Morning, Andrew.
Morning, Tim.
The economic impact of the bushfires, and we've been crunching the numbers.
Yeah, sort of, I suppose you've got, you know, amongst the environmental and the human tragedy that is obviously the raging bushfires in Australia, and those are clearly the main priorities. But the question is always going to be lurking around about the potential economic impact, and straight up, Tim, it's actually quite hard to accurately ascertain at the moment. I mean, we can highlight certain factors, we can look at sort of some of the potential outcomes, and firstly, I think it's fair to assume that what's happening now increases the chances that the Reserve Bank of Australia cuts interest rates at its meeting next month on balance. And we're seeing that evidenced in the implied probabilities of that rising when we sort of look through the financial market futures pricing. So that's a potential outcome. There are speculative numbers circulating around. I've seen numbers ranging from sort of 5 billion Australian to higher. That's the cost. If I look at the cost of the Victorian bushfires in 2009, that was probably less than that. But if it's an impact is around that sort of 5 to 8 billion, that would be less than the cost of the Queensland floods in 2011. The most severely affected areas probably account for a very small portion of Australian economic activity, but there's absolutely going to be a cost in terms of the disruption to spending, tourism, obviously the impacts of smoke pollution as well. So those sort of direct effects are basically going to be felt most painfully in the affected regions. But there's also these indirect effects, sort of broader effects on spending and tourism. I've seen estimates of impacts of up to about 0.5% on GDP, and that's that's at the upper level of estimates, though.
That'll hurt, though, won't it, really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and the interesting thing is, Tim, is that the loss of property, that's not captured in the GDP numbers. And actually, perversely, events like this can actually have a positive impact on activity as well. Think the Christchurch earthquake, because you have the reconstruction, you have rebuild, you have spending afterwards. So there's the negative impact initially, but then you get the positive rebound when everything obviously has to be rebuilt and reconstructed.
All right, let's have a little look at where we are with Brexit now.
Oh, yeah, well, look, obviously this was all consuming prior to Christmas, wasn't it? And ended up with that UK general election, which produced a resounding victory for Boris Johnson and the Conservatives. Now, that sort of dust has settled. All the Christmas decorations are coming down. Now we have to deal with the process, and there should probably be more focus on this than there is on that on the Megxit thing, because this thing's actually real. Now, January 31st, the UK will leave the EU, so we're getting very much closer to that date, and at that stage, the UK enters an 11-month transition period. Through that period, it will, in my understanding anyway, largely follow the EU rules or the prevailing EU rules, even though it won't have any representation in the EU institutions. Boris Johnson's nominated 31st of December as the deadline for concluding a trade agreement. Now, there seems to be some confidence that you will, in that time period, be able to get what they would call a skinny deal. You'd be able to get the big issues covered, but it seems extremely unlikely that they'll be get all the detail done. And to use an example, imagine if you had a UK-based car company that bought a whole lot of components and constructed a vehicle and then exported that out of the UK into Europe. That car has to go in on the same terms as that car would be if it was coming from somewhere else. And think of the thousands and thousands of product lines that they're going to have to cover with the legislation. Yeah. So unlikely that they'll get that done in the course of the 12 months.
Messy logistically as well. Numbers very quickly, please, Andrew.
28,907 on the Dow Jones, up 83. 3,282 on the S&P 500, that's up 17. And the Nasdaq's up 71,9249. The FTSE 100, 7,617, up 30 points. The Nikkei, 23,850, up 111 points. Shanghai Composite, 3,115. The ASX 200 lost 25 yesterday, 6,903. We lost 8 points on the NZX 50, 11,543. On the currencies, 0.6632 against the US, 0.9598 Aussie, 0.5952 Euro, 0.5105 pounds, 72.90 yen. Gold, $1,551, and Brent crude, $64.34.